We are going to begin, and Jerry Bueller, who is Area Church Minister for Mennonite Church Saskatchewan, will begin, and Terry Gertzen, who is pastor at Sterling Mennonite Fellowship in Mennonite Church, Manitoba. And they will go one after each other, and then we'll have our small group time.
Am I on here, Alyssa? Okay. So I've never done a PowerPoint before. I'm really traumatized about that. Yeah, right. Yeah, I wasn't listening. Yeah. All right, okay. Well, my interest in food was once rather shallow. You know, open up wide and eventually swallow. But then I got saved. I got sanctification. And I thought about food with new sophistication. A new revelation came to me in my newfound bliss, and I thought about food with new sophistication. A revelation came to me in my newfound bliss. I'll share it with you. The revelation is this. Though it tastes really good, and our bodies need it, there's more ways to enjoy food than simply to eat it. For example, the aroma. That's a great place to begin. Just open your nostrils and breathe it all in. The fragrant smells of almonds toasting, the savory scent of multi-grains roasting. And then there's the beauty. If it's done up right, that feeds our hungry sense of sight. And I have to say, without exaggeration, for me, it's all in the presentation. So my way of enjoying food, besides munching it down, is to make it for others and pass it around. And if I go to the effort to make it look pleasing, it sends a message to those who are receiving. A message that says, you're special, in fact, and eating with you is a sacred act. Anyway, fruit is always beautiful whether you slice or dice, but with a melon baller, well, it especially looks nice. The simplest rolls can become artisan with a sprinkle of sesame seeds in the pan. This gooey caramel filled with fruit, nuts, and pepper makes this brie cheese look rather dapper. Chicken breast stuffed with burrs and cheese and spinach and walnuts, that goes down with ease. Pistachio trifle that I invented myself feels good on the tongue and looks good on the shelf. Tomatoes filled with cream cheese and crab are so inviting you just reach out and grab. Planning for meals and food preparation helps me reflect in various directions. It helps me to think about where it all comes from. Am I being ethical? And do I give back some? The soil and the creatures that give with such grace compel me to care with a gentle embrace. I love the idea of being close to the source. And I try to be kind and grateful, of course. I often bring food to a gathering or meeting so that while we work, we can have a good feeding. Preparing the food is a great way to pray for the ones who will be eating it the very next day. While I'm working and kneading the dough for the bread, the names of the pastors run through my head. Biblical food images are prolific indeed. They appear almost anywhere that we read, from the flesh pots of Egypt to our daily bread, to the invitation from Jesus to come and be fed. This is our calling, as much as we're able, extending the invitation to the Lord's table. And hospitality lies at the heart of the call. To break his bread and to share it with all.
I'm Terry Gertz, and I'm from Winnipeg. Back in Winnipeg, I've lived there for about 15 years now or so. I coach in a mountain bike program in the community called Kids of Mud, and it's a particularly apt title this year, as you know, the rain has come, and every year, the first day of the season, the parents begin phoning, "Do we go when it rains?" And the answer is, you've heard the title, right? It's Kids of Mud. Of course we go when it rains. So the season runs from May through June, beginning of May to the end of June, and it's a program for five-year-old kids right up through high school. And the coaches are divided up into both age category and skill category. And the group that I've been given is the free ride kids. These are the kids 12 to 15 years old who aren't interested in racing but would rather learn how to hit the big jumps and do scary stuff on their bikes that they otherwise shouldn't be doing if they were hanging out with a responsible adult. So they gave me these kids. The season begins at the beginning of May. A week before the season began, I was doing probably the most foolish thing I've ever done in my entire life. I was cleaning my garage. Tripped in my garage and turned my ankle. Turned it pretty badly. It swelled up like a balloon. It was incredibly painful. But I thought, why would I bother going to the hospital? I've had ankle injuries before. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to sit there for 5 or 6 hours. They're going to tell me to elevate it, ice it, and stay off it for a while. So why would I bother going? So I did that for the week that I had before the season began. But when the season began, it was still pretty painful, and so I had to figure out what to do. I dug in my closet and found an old ankle brace, and I squeezed my foot into this ankle brace and taped up my ankle so it was incredibly solid. And I popped a couple of Tylenol Ultras, and I went off and I coached. And I did that for 3 weeks, every Tuesday and Thursday evening, rain and mud, I popped these Tylenols, I squeezed myself into the ankle brace, I taped it up, and I went. And the kids didn't know anything. But afterwards, I would come home, and I would need help putting the bikes away and help getting into the house because it was so painful. So 3 weeks in, I realized there's something more going on here. And so I called my doctor, and I made an appointment, and it took a little while to get in to see the doctor. And the season was 6 weeks in before I got to see the sports medicine doctor, who took some x-rays and said, "Oh yeah, you've broken your ankle." Been riding for the last 6 weeks on a broken ankle, and my first response was, "Thank you, Lord, that I've had these past 6 weeks." My second response then was, "Okay, now what kind of damage have I done?" Cycling is my passion. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have a bike. My biggest decision in coming to Calgary was, what bike do I bring? How do I get around here? Well, I get a bike. I'm not particularly fast, I'm not particularly fit, I don't particularly like to race, but I love to ride my bike. I love to ride it to work in the mornings, I love to ride home late at night after a meeting that's gone on far too long. I love to ride out in the bush with my dogs. I love to dice it up with traffic during rush hour. I love to ride in the rain and mud and come home covered in nothing but gick and smiles. I love to ride in the winter when everybody else who is a bit more sensible has put their gear away for the season. I love to conquer my fear and hit up the big jumps and ride away most of the time unscathed. I love that my bike takes me to places where I will see deer and fox and coyotes and rabbits and turtles and fish and birds and wild horses and all manner of creatures I could never otherwise get to. I love that riding a bike is fun with a group of people and riding a bike is great all by yourself. I love that I don't need to drive to the trails but can ride pretty much everywhere I need to go. I love that I'm not rehearsing conversations when I'm on my bike, or preparing sermons, or counseling a troubled soul, or planning the next event. But perhaps the thing that I love most when I'm on my bike is that all I'm doing is riding my bike. It's a moment of rest. It's a moment of single-mindedness, of focus, where all the distractions of daily life, all the being pulled in many different directions, just disappears. Time itself disappears when I'm on my bike. My ride to work is 35 minutes if I'm pushing it. It's 20 minutes in a car. And when I get there in a car, I feel uptight and anxious. But when I ride my bike, often I'll arrive at work and think, I'm here already. The time has just disappeared. Sometimes a good ride feels like such a holy moment that the only refrain running through my head as I'm riding my bike is, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, like a mantra over and over and over again. For me, riding a bicycle is recreative, it's restorative, it's restive, even though I come home exhausted and weary. I've discerned over the years that not only do I love to ride my bike, but I need to ride my bike. I'm happier, everyone else is happier, I work better, I work longer and more creative when I am on my bike. It's something that I do for myself and myself alone. But at the very same time, it's through riding my bicycle that God has brought into my life all sorts of other people with the same kinds of interests and passions who would never otherwise darken the door of a church. By taking me out there with my interest and my passion and connecting with people who share those passions, God has made relationships happen that I am inspired and awed and amazed by. It's a holy thing to be engaged in something as simple as riding a bike.